Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
All right, I have a lot of material to get through with you this morning. As you are aware, we are busy with the final part in our series, The Elementaries of Christ, Elementary Principles of Christ out of Hebrews 6. This has been a very, enriching series, because even though these are elementary principles, I'm sure you would agree that it has been so challenging, so life-changing, and just so powerful. And I'm just so excited to finish this weekend with you and going through this. You know, sometimes as a pastor, you have to teach things that are challenging. But in the same breath, you feel a very heavy responsibility as a pastor to make sure that you share things that will, your lives are the most important thing to me as a pastor. And I need to make sure that when I give you the gospel, when I preach something to you, that it's going to be the truth, because I will have to stand before God one day and give an account for what I say to you. And I can assure you that really does put the fear of God in me. I know what the fear of God means when I say that to you, because I know who He is and I know how valuable you are to Him. And so I'm excited to get into this today, because it's a powerful subject. You know, let's read Hebrews 6:1 and let's just dive into it. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, I'm not going to go into all of this, because over the last few weeks, we've gone through every single one of these. We've done 5 of them, doctrines, and this morning we'll do the last one. But I categorized them into 3 groups. The first group being repentance and faith, the second being baptisms and laying on of hands, and the third being the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And it seems as though these are all very connected. In fact, really it's one foundation that we build on for us as believers. This foundation, these foundational principles will keep you close to God. These foundational principles will keep you walking in the Spirit. These foundational principles will help you to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is saying we can't go on from this into the meatier things until you get this. Because this foundation is absolutely critical. Jesus speaks about building your house upon the rock. He is the rock. Jesus is the rock. Your foundation must be the principles, the foundational principles of Christ. What did He do for you? How did you get saved? What did you do with your salvation? Did you walk in the fullness of who He is? These are important keys for us as believers. And in your Christian walk, what you do with your walk, what is your motivation? Why are you motivated to do things for God, to speak and to minister to peoples, or whatever it is that you do? What is your motive? And all these things we'll discuss this morning. But let's dive right in. Hebrews 9:27. And this scripture is so important for each and every one of us. It says this, Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. But after this, the judgment. That means that every single one of us, more than likely, unless we are the generation that will be caught up, will die once. We will all die once. And after that, we will all be judged. There will come a day where we will all stand before God. Let me give you one more scripture and we'll talk a bit about this. Romans 14, verse number 12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is very important. Each of us shall give account of himself to God. The Bible says that we should work out our own salvation. And He doesn't stop there. He says in fear and trembling. In other words, when you stand before God one day, and you are judged, and you will all stand before him one day. And I'll give you all the scriptures for it. You will be judged. Okay, we will not be judged the same as those who do not know the Lord. They will be judged for their sin, and they will be, their names are not in the book of life, and they will not spend eternity with God. We that are believers have a different judgment. We'll get into that in a moment. But what you must know is that you will still stand before the Lord and give an account for what you have done with your salvation. There's no question about that. I'll give you multiple scriptures for it in just a moment. That's why I have so much scripture today, because I want to give you scripture to back it all up. Is that okay? But what I want you to take note, just put that scripture up for me again, please, guys. The last one. Eventually it will come up. There it is. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. That means that you cannot blame a pastor. You cannot blame church offense. You cannot blame anything on what you will be judged for when you stand in front of God. What you need to know is you are the one who is responsible for how you live your life. That means that everything that you are taught, whether in this church or any other church, it's your responsibility to go and check it. It's your responsibility to be good stewards of your own salvation. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation, because it's you that needs to make sure that you are on the straight and narrow. It's you that needs to make sure that you are following God. You can't go on everything that I say. You can't go on everything that somebody else says. And when I upset you, that can't be your reason from backsliding and turning away from God. You are the one who will be responsible for your own life when you stand before God. And this is very important. This is foundational and extremely important for all of us, because I've met many Christians that will say to me, well, I got hurt in that church and that's why. Well, I understand that you got hurt. Get over it and move on. Can you say amen? We've all been hurt in church. That's the nature of the human being. There are human beings in church and they will hurt you. Even your own brothers will hurt you. It's just, unfortunately, human nature. We are foolish in the way that we do things often. Sometimes offense will come because of our own fault, and sometimes it will actually be someone that has brought offense to us. But offense is a choice. And you cannot take that offense and now let that be the very reason why you don't follow God for the rest of your life, and then one day you will stand before him and give an account. Because your salvation is a great salvation. How great a salvation do we have? Can you say amen? How many of you here are so thankful that your name is written in the book of life, that you are serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Amen. And it's a great place to start. But it is just the start. Now let's take a look at the two different types of judgments. The first judgment that we need to look at. Now actually there's a lot more to judgment than what I'm going to share with you this morning. But there's just no way we can get into all of that, because there's a judgment with the Jews, there's judgment for the Gentiles, there's all kinds of things, but really two categories, unbelievers and believers. Jude 14:15 says this, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his servants to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, that is the Lord. Revelation 20, verse number 11. Then I saw a great white throne. We call this judgment the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment that will come upon those whose names are not written in the book of life. In other words, those who are not believers in Jesus as the risen Messiah. You must believe that Jesus died and rose again to be saved. Okay. You know, Jesus was in his young 30s. And he made a statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How on earth did he say that? What made him make a statement like that? That there is no other way, there is no other truth, there is nowhere else or no way else to have life and life eternal. But Jesus, in his wisdom, knowing very well who he was, made that statement. That statement to me is astounding. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and there is no other way to the Father. It doesn't matter what other religion you have. It doesn't matter what your belief is. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's good. Good is not always God. There is only one way, and that is Jesus. He is the only way that your name will not be, will be written. The only way that your name will be written in the book of life is if you believe that He is the only way. I mean, 31 years old, just throws that randomly out there. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And the whole gospel is all there in those three statements. What's the way? He's the way. What's the truth? He's the truth. What brings life? He brings life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I can stay here all day long because it's so powerful. If that in itself doesn't tell you that he's God, I don't know what does. 31 years old, 32 years old, and he makes a statement like that. I cannot comprehend it. In his perfection, in his, just amazing. All right, Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. You see, there are books on your life. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged. The dead are those who that were not in Christ. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Those who were all dead in hell, they were all delivered up for judgment. And verse number 13 in the B part, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. You as a believer, if you walk with God, if you serve him, you will not experience this second death because you have life. Jesus is the life. If you're in Christ, you are in life. You will not die the second death. Amen. Then look at what it says. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, I don't know about you, but that judgment is not the judgment I want to be a part of. And thank God, because of the blood of Jesus, we will not experience the great white throne judgment according to what we understand scripturally. Okay. Great news for you and I. Amen. But that does not mean that we will not be judged. We will be judged, but we will be judged according to our works, what we did with our salvation. Let me show you. Romans 14, verse number 10. Romans 14, verse number 10. But why do you judge your brother? He's talking to believers. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Now watch. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. The judgment that we will face is called the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek word for seat there is bema, the bema seat of Christ. So it's the judgment seat of Christ, which as you'll see in just a moment, is a judgment that will be given to us according to the works that we did as a Christian. That judgment will be really for the reward that we will be given. For he will give according to each one's works, he will reward them. Amen. Let's take a look. I know it's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning at Oceans Unite Christian Center. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear, this is every one of us, before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one, I want you to take note, each one, that means every single one of us, may receive the things done in the body. So he's saying that each one of us will receive what is coming to us. So what the Lord is going to be giving us, he's going to be giving us that we have done in the body. He will reward us according to that was done in the body, according to what he has done. Now watch, how will the reward be given? According to what has been done, whether good or bad. I want you to take note that in the judgment seat of Christ, everything will be exposed. Everything will be exposed. Good works, bad works. There is no in between. There is no gray. There is no halfway. There is no little bit good. Well, it was kind of good and kind of bad. No, it is either good or it is bad. Can you say amen? Okay. I want to go somewhere, but let me just wait just a minute. God treats and judges everyone the same way. He judges the same way. 1 Peter 1 verse 17 says this, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work." So he judges us all the same, no partiality. "Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Did you see what he said? He's not saying that to put fear in you to make you afraid. He wants you to recognize who it is that you are serving. You are serving the Creator of the universe. Listen, guys, he spoke and there was light. He spoke and there was water and there was earth and there was mountains and there were trees. He began to speak. Do you recognize who we're dealing with? We're dealing with the one who breathed life into Adam. We're dealing with the one who's the Creator of all things. You are in his hands. It is an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. Your salvation has been paid for with an incredibly high price. So the value of your salvation is so high. Now you've been given this salvation so that the Lord wants to take you and use you to do His will. Listen, if in your marriage, how many of you here are married? Let me see your hand. Okay. How many men here love their wives? Okay. No more hands. Okay. For those of you that did not put your hands up, please come and see me after the service. Amen. Can you imagine that he gave everything and he is the bridegroom and we are the bride? In your own marriage, don't you desire that your spouse would just understand you more? Don't you desire that your spouse would just give a little bit more to you? And if they just understood you more and just gave a little more, then you would be willing to give more, right? Can you imagine how the Lord must feel? He gave His life for us. Our response should be one of, "Father, you have given me life. Because you have given me life, I give my life to you." "Oh, but you know, it's my rights, Pastor Alex, and I want to do this, and I want it my way," and that's fine. But understand the covenant and what the price was that was paid for you. Listen, we're not talking about the 80, 90, 100 years you're going to live on this earth. We are talking about eternity. What you do on this earth with your salvation will affect your eternity. The salvation that you have has already been paid for with blood. It's sealed. It's done. You are a believer. You are going to be in heaven, you are saved. But don't think that you can just live on this earth and that it's just going to be okay. You just live how you want. Okay. Let's get into it. All right. Are you guys okay? Now, before we do that, I need to read three scriptures real quick. And I need you to grasp this. John 3:18. "He who believes in him is not condemned, But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. If you believe in him, you will not be condemned. John 5 verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. He's saying that you will pass from death into life. You will not experience the second death. You will have life if you choose to follow him. Amen. Good news. The best one of all, Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the truth is, I can read the rest of the scripture to you, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the truth is, the New King James added that. That is not in the original text. The original text only says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why did the New King James do that? Because they're trying to put it into context. In your Bible, you will see many words italicized. Every time you see italicized words, it means the translator added those words in to help you understand the text. This scripture has been a huge debate because of that part that was not added in. Okay, what you need to know is that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, you will not have condemnation. But it is a present tense thing, guys. Are you in Christ? Are you serving him? Are you following him? Are you walking with him? That's why he says what he says, to try and put it into context. One thing you need to know about translations, about the Bible, I'll take a short little rabbit run here, real quick. There is no perfect translation. The NIV is the nearly inspired version. Okay, one person got it. Okay. No version is perfect. The NIV is good in some ways. The King James is good in some ways. The ESV is good in some ways. And there are different translations, word for word translations, thought for thought translations. They are all very powerful, but no translation is perfect. That's why we look at the original language to see what was actually written from the beginning. Can you say amen? All right, but all the translations are good. The New King James is a very good translation because it's a word-for-word translation, and the majority of the text is held true to the original language. But there are some instances like this one where he adds quite a lot in. Amen. That was for free. All right, let's continue. Now watch. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9. Let's break this down a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 9. This will let you understand what's going to take place for us who labor for the Lord with our salvation. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. You see, the foundation of our belief, of our salvation, of our walk has to be Jesus Christ. Now, if any builds on this foundation, watch this now, with gold and silver and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Let's stop there. Take it off real quick. Take it off. Take it off. Okay. You can see that there are two types of rewards. The way that we build. The way that we build is with silver and gold, or with hay and wood. When we build with hay and wood, we are building yes, the foundation is Christ, but what are we building and how are we building? What is our motive for building? You see, Jesus made a powerful statement. He even said something like this. He said that, you know, he basically said that your reward when you do something, if you want all men to see it, your reward will come from men. Right? So when you do something for God, your motive must always be for Him. Who gets the glory? He gets the glory. Why am I doing it? For His glory. I'm not trying to build this ministry for my glory. If I'm doing it for my glory, your praise will be my reward. And when I get to heaven, that reward, no matter how great it looks in the natural, will be burnt like wood or hay. But if it's a if I built it based on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my motive is true, my heart is true, and I'm doing it for Him, for the right purpose, for the right motive, it will be as silver and gold, and my reward will come from Him. What you do with your salvation, you will be judged for. That salvation and everything that you do will be judged according to one of two things, wood or hay or silver and gold. Wood or hay will burn up like it wasn't even there. And you will receive nothing for it. If you built with the right motive, with the right heart, and you actually did something with your salvation, it will be as silver and gold. Now let's put that scripture back up real quick. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But now look, your reward you will not get, but he himself will be saved. Yet so as through the fire. Amen. The point that I'm trying to make is that with your salvation, you will be judged for what you do. The good news, for those of you that think this is good news, is that even though you will receive no reward, you will still be saved. Because it's not your works that can produce your salvation. It is Jesus that gives you salvation. Okay. Will this matter to you? Some people are going, phew. Will this matter to you in that day? I will prove to you that it will matter to you. Some of you here can't live without good things for 5 minutes. Do you really believe that in eternity, when everyone else is being blessed, you're going to just be okay with it? Because you're going to receive nothing? But it's not like that in heaven. Okay. We struggle for 80, 90 years here, 100 years here. Eternity. I think it matters what we do with our salvation. I think it's important what we do with our salvation. What God gives you, the gifts He gives you. You may feel like I only have one gift. I'll prove to you that your one gift is of extreme value to Him. And scripturally, we see that oftentimes when someone just has one gift, they squander it and they lose even that one thing. Guys, I care about you. I want you to make it. I want you to finish strong. I want you to get the prize. The Bible speaks of crowns that we'll get. We'll get these crowns. The rewards will be crowns. What's so powerful about these crowns, crowns of righteousness, and all these different crowns, it's 5 crowns, is that when we get these crowns, we will one day have an opportunity to stand before the throne of God. And the Bible says that the elders went down, they took their crowns and they cast them before the Lord. Because even the crowns and the things that we are given, we are not worthy of them. You see, God can do something really powerful through me. As the pastor, I did this thing and I prayed and the power of God came and someone got delivered. The next day I go and I want to tell everyone how powerful it was and how great it was. And everyone goes, "Oh, Pastor Alex, wow, that was so amazing." Guess what? I have my reward. That's my reward, the praises from people. Whereas what I need is that to be rewarded to me in heaven. Who did the work? He did the work. What was I? I was there. I'm an opportunist. I take every opportunity I can to be used by Him. But the one who must get the glory, the one who must get the praise, the one who actually does it is the King of Glory. Can you say amen? All right. Let me move on. We have to build on Jesus as our foundation. If you build on this foundation, it will be declared for eternity. What is the value of how you build? Is it wood? Is it straw? Or is it going to be gold or silver? This is what you need to decide. The question is, what is your motive for everything that you do? All right. Let me read to you about some stories that we look at that speak about what will take place at judgment. And these are believers that he's talking about in these three stories. Okay, the first service, I couldn't get to all three, but thank the Lord, it's the second service and I can take my time. Amen. It's all right. Outback's still going to be open at 2 o'clock. Okay. Matthew 7:13. Look at what he says here, guys. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. This is heavy. Now look at what he says. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inward they are ravenous wolves. How do you know a prophet? You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, even good trees bear good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Let's stop there. I want you to take note of this. He speaks of a prophet, but let me tell you something. Don't always think of the prophet as the man of God, because we are all called to have prophetic ministry. We all have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of prophecy, and He dwells inside all of you. There are parking lot prophets. There are prophets all over the place. How do you know whether a prophet is a true prophet? Not by his accuracy, because the devil prophesies true as well, or accurately rather. You know them by their fruit. What type of fruit? Now, I'll teach you about the fruit of the Spirit next week. Don't miss it. It's going to be good. But I'm also specifically talking about, you will see what goes on around them. The fruit of their life, the fruit of their ministry, the fruit of people around them. You will know them by their fruit. What they are doing, the work that they're doing. Is it producing good fruit? Is it producing bad fruit? Your ministry, your life, are you producing good fruit as a believer, or are you producing bad fruit in your life and in those that you minister to? Are you producing good fruit, or are you producing bad fruit? Does it make sense? Now watch this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Who will enter the kingdom of heaven? He who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? What he's basically saying is many people will come before God and think they've done a great work for the king, but they're going to stand there and they're going to go, Lord, did we not do this? Did we not prophesy? Did I not build this church? Did I not give money to this? Did I not do this? And he's going to turn around and say this to us. Watch this now. I know this is heavy. Just hang in there, okay? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What does it mean? It means that iniquity was found in them, and all their motive was themselves. Iniquity, lawlessness, the same qualities of the devil. Okay? I want to point out this to you because these guys must have been believers. How could they even cast out demons? How could they even do the work of the ministry? I've heard some of the guys that are from denominations that don't believe in the supernatural say that's all the Pentecostals. I'll show you what happens to the guys that don't do much with their salvation. We will all stand before God. What's important is your heart. And what you do with what he's given you, understand your salvation was paid for with a great price. I'm going to say this over and over this morning because I want you to see the value of it. You are not here by mistake for such a time as this. You have been placed here right now. God has given gifts to you. He's given abilities to you and talents to you, funds to you, everything to you so that you can expand his kingdom, not so that you can use it for all your own self-motivation, because you will stand before him one day and you will say, he will say to you, I gave you much. What did you do with it? Can you say amen? All right. Okay, I'm almost done. You guys okay? All right, let's move on. Let's go to Luke 19, verse number 11. Watch this now. He's going to give a parable. And I'm going to give you two parables. And then we're going to close. Luke 19, verse number 11. Understand, guys, I don't like talking about this stuff, but this is an elementary doctrine that I think we all should have knowledge of. Is that okay? All right. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, watch this, it's very powerful. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, that's a type of money, 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. So he's saying now that he's come to his citizens and he's given them funds, he's given them gifts, he's given them abilities. That's what it's saying. But his citizens, watch this, hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. This is so powerful. Because what it's saying is that the people that were supposed to receive him rejected him. And so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your minas has earned me, or has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, look at this now. This is the words we all want to hear when we stand before the Lord. Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority. Look at what he says here, over 10 cities. What you do with the salvation that you have been given, what you do with what God has given you in this life, your abilities, your talents, everything you have, what you do with it will affect what will be given to you in eternity. You need to know that. Can you see it? Amen. And the second came, verse number 18, and the second came saying, Master, your minas has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also, over 5 cities. So he gives him also a great reward. Then another came saying, Master, watch here. Here is your minus. In other words, here's the salvation. I'm still here, but I didn't do anything with it, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you were an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you put my money in the bank? Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the minas from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even that will be taken away from him. What you do with your salvation on this earth will affect your eternity. Don't think that you can just because you're saved, it's good enough. Well, God hasn't given me much. Listen, what He's given you is far more valuable than what you think. Take what He's given you. Take what He's given you. Minister to your family. Minister to your loved ones. Minister in your workplace. Take what He's given you. Share what He's given you. He has given you a treasure. He has given you life and life abundantly. And it's our responsibility. Why should I do it? Because He did it for you. He gave His life for you. Now I want you to look at what He says about those who rejected Him. Watch this now. Verse 27. But bring here those enemies of mine, those who do not believe in me, who did not want me to reign over them. Look at how He says this. And slay them before me. We always want to portray Jesus as gentle and meek and mild, and yes, He is gentle and loving and meek, no question. But don't forget that He is also a judge, and His judgment is righteous. He said so Himself. His judgment is righteous. We will all stand in that day. Those who reject Him, they will be punished. Can you say amen? But we will choose to do with our salvation according to His will and purpose and plan for our lives. Amen. All right, one more story and then I'll close. Are you guys okay? All right. Another parable. Matthew 25, verse 14. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his own abilities, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he would receive 2, gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now watch. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. I don't think God likes lazy people. I'm just saying. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now watch. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's stop there. What does that mean? I don't know. 100% because I don't know. But it's very clear that they're not happy with the result. Right? That we know for sure. What is outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth? It doesn't sound like a pleasant place to me. You cannot take that out of the Bible. It is there. 2 parables that clearly point to judgment. What we do with our salvation, because he's talking about his servants. You and I are his servants. We are not judged according to our sin. We are judged according to our works, what we do. What we do with our salvation. Can you say amen? It's very clear, guys. Now, one more scripture, short one. I want to show you the key, I believe. The key to all of this. Watch this now. Please know that I'm only sharing this with you because I care. This is not easy. 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 1. Watch this now. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself because he knows he can't. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both judge, who will both bring to light the hidden things and reveal the counsels of the hearts. He will reveal the counsels of the hearts. And what will take place? Then each one's praise will come from God. Everything you do on this earth must be done with your salvation to bring glory to the King. Don't look for the praises of men. Don't look to impress anybody. Don't even judge. Stay out of it and just wait for what God will do in the day of judgment for you when He looks at one thing. He looks at the heart. The most important thing to God, clearly throughout Scripture, is the heart of your is your heart. Out of the heart flows the issues of light. David was a man after God's heart. God always looks at the heart. He doesn't see as man sees. That's why we can't judge, because we don't know the heart of somebody else. But he knows the heart of man. And the truth is at the end of it all, when he does judge, he will look at your heart. The motive of why you did what you did, for some people will be building and it will look like they're doing a phenomenal job, but to God it may not be that way. There may be people that you think are doing nothing for the Lord who might be doing the greatest things for the Lord, and before God, he will receive their reward. They will be rewarded. The one who will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," is the one who counts in that day. Can you say amen? Yes, thank God our names are written in the book of life. But I want to say to you this morning, stay with God, stay close to God. Stay under the shadow of His wing. Walk with Him. Don't think that just because you've given your life to Jesus that that's the beginning and the end of it all. No, that is really just the beginning. You have been given such an incredible gift. And the truth is that God has given every one of you gifts and talents and abilities that are supposed to be used for His kingdom right now. Well, why should I do it? I told you, because He's done it all for you. It should be your honor and privilege to give back to Him. It should be your honor and privilege to serve Him all the days of your life, because you know that in the end, you will have your reward. I could easily just come out here and say, "Oh, don't worry, guys. Our names are in the book of life. It's all great and wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen." But I have to stand before God. This morning, I read Romans 1 and 2, and I almost fell off my chair. Recognizing that when I agree with things that are wrong, I am guilty of it as a pastor. If I preach that it's okay to do something, if I call that sin good, I have basically committed that sin and will be judged for that sin. It shocked me into a whole new dimension. It was in my sermon. I took it all out because I need to go study it more. We are dealing with what Peter said. That's why he said, you need to do it in fear, because you need to know who you're dealing with, guys. Yes, Jesus, full of love and compassion, full of mercy and goodness, and all of that was given to you so that we could do what He created us for right from the beginning, to have dominion with Him, to share with Him, to rule with Him, to reign with Him. But that means that we must follow Him. That means we must be obedient to His voice. We need to be led by the Spirit. Can you say amen? Don't always think that because it looks good, that it's God. Do what is godly. invest, do everything you do, do it where God is busy doing something. How do you know if he's doing something? By the fruit. Always look for the fruit. So that whatever you do with your with what God has given you, you use it in a place where there's fruit so that you will be accounted for the same fruit. Get plugged into church. If you're not part of a church, become part of a church so that you can step into doing what God has called you to do. Don't be an outside lone ranger. Get plugged in. Become part of the body. It's awesome to serve the King with other Christians and see God build and expand and do things in the kingdom. It's so wonderful to be a part of that. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we thank you so much. Like Paul said, Father, we look towards immortality, where we will live with you forever. And this is our comfort. It's in this that we find comfort, that we will live with you forever. Father, you have already given us life because we're in you now. We're in Christ. Let us stay walking in the Spirit. Let us be led by the Spirit. Let us heed your voice. Father, I pray for every precious soul that's here this morning that they will fulfill their destiny and their purpose and become everything that you've called them to be. Lord, that they will step into the fullness and that they will look beyond this earth into eternity. For eternity is already in the heart of every man. Father, you've already predestined us to be here this morning. We are here, not by mistake. And I just pray for every family, every life, every child, every husband and wife, every marriage. I pray for them this morning, Father, that we would go beyond all the stuff going on in our lives and that we would serve the King of Kings with that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for every precious soul. Thank you that our names are written in the book of life. I wouldn't be fair if I didn't ask you this morning, if you're not sure that your name is written in the book of life, if you're not sure that you are saved, if you've never given your life to Jesus or you're not sure, I want to give you an opportunity right now. I'm not going to call you to the front. I just want you to slip your hand up so I can pray for you real quick. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. If you say, Pastor Alex, God bless you. Thank you, sir. Anybody else, say, Pastor, include me in this prayer. God bless you, sir, in the back. Thank you. So I need to make sure that my name is in that book of life. I don't want that first judgment. Anybody else, say, Pastor, include me and I'll pray for you as well. I'm not going to drag this out. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. Can we all stand right now, please? Just for a moment. Those of you that lifted your hands, if you pray this prayer from your heart, know that you are saved. For if you believe and you declare it, then you are saved. So pray this prayer with me. And those of you that are going to be joining us in this prayer, just pray with me because it's just a way of affirming what you already believe. Let's pray together. Say, Father, I come to you today. I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. Write my name in the book of life. Forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Just lift your hands for just a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you did this morning. Thank you for our security. Thank you for our salvation, Lord. But I know there is so much more. Let us go beyond. Let us go beyond, let us go further and deeper into the things of God. Thank you for life and life abundantly. Thank you for every precious soul. Holy Spirit, just bless them, strengthen them. Let them be encouraged to know that we are with you, serving you, following you all the days of our lives. All the glory and honor and praise belongs to you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Spirit be with each one as they leave this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.